God be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness.
So that the whole world may know your will, so that all nations may know your salvation.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. God has blessed us. May all the people everywhere honor him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let us take a moment of silence for self-reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. And as we sing our gathering hymn this morning, our children are released for jam.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, and in your name may be known throughout the earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Reading is from Isaiah, the 56th chapter. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans, the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, from whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the gospel of the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If one blind person leads another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, this does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So, this right here is a really good sermon, if I do say so myself. I wrote it on Friday. It's a really good, Terry, you like just made a face, like you were like, Don't worry, Terry, you're not going to have to hear this sermon today. It is a really good sermon for some church to hear, maybe. But it is a sermon that on Friday, even as I was writing it, I knew it wasn't the one that First Lutheran Church here in Galleon, Ohio, needed to hear today. As you heard after the service last week, and as my pondering discussed this Thursday, we are starting to dive headlong into this real, actual, hard work, this painful work of perhaps no longer being First Lutheran Church in Galleon, Ohio. When we start talking about naming a new parish, that really starts to drive this home, doesn't it? And we need to talk about it, don't we? But Terry, this sermon didn't talk about it. So I will file it away where it belongs. Terry, do you want it? I will file that sermon away where it belongs, and instead I will preach the sermon I believe I'm called to preach today to us, the people of First Lutheran in Galleon, Ohio, at this time in our lives together. So our gospel narrative today, it almost seems disconnected, like there were two separate stories that were being told. old. In the first story, Jesus says, it's not what you put into your mouth that makes you ritually unclean, because that's what he's talking about, cleanliness. This was in response to the Pharisees, who were complaining that Jesus' disciples didn't do their ritual hand washings as prescribed by the Jewish law. So Jesus says, what goes into the mouth doesn't make you unclean, but what comes out of your mouth. This seems pretty straightforward, I think. But the disciples, like usual, they're like, huh? So a frustrated Jesus continues, you are so dense. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach, and Jesus puts it politely, goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what makes you unclean. And he turns around and he looks up and he's like, really, God, really? These were the best 12. These were the best 12 you had to offer to me. But it's important we understand what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is pushing the boundaries of Jewish law. Jesus is pushing the boundaries of law and custom. Jesus was here for the Jews, right? That's what they thought. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and to his disciples that maybe there is something else a little more important that I'm here for than to reinforce these purity laws. Maybe there is a new way. Jesus says, are you speaking mercy, love, compassion, openness, regardless of which group the other person belongs to? Or are you speaking hatred and slander and indifference and tribalism? What is in your heart? This, says Jesus, this is what matters. Jesus is trying to expand their minds and expand their hearts. They're like Grinches. Their hearts are three sizes too small. He's trying to get them to see a new way. And then comes this second narrative today. In my first reading of this week, I will admit, I said, huh? I was like, why are these two narratives smushed together? I was kind of like the disciples. I didn't quite get it. But now I see why these narratives must be read together. So a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon. And of course, the disciples, having just heard Jesus tell them, your heart makes you unclean. Expand your heart. Love your neighbor. Show compassion. They did that, right? That was their response. They did all of these things. These are the same disciples, I will remind you, that saw Jesus cast 300 some odd demons out of two men in the land of the Gadarenes. Cast those demons out into the pigs. The pigs ran over the cliff. Everybody got mad and they threw them out. I'm pretty sure that these disciples remembered 300 pigs running over a cliff. So they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, cast this demon from this woman's daughter, right? Because they knew he could do it. These disciples remembered that Jesus, that same period of time, cured a Roman officer's servant, a Gentile, on account of the Roman officer's faith, a faith that Jesus, in his own words, said was greater than any and all of Israel. The disciples, they remembered this, right? And they said, Master, look at the faith of this woman. It is unmatched in all of Israel. Please cast this demon from her daughter at this instant. They did that, right? They said this to Jesus, right? Of course they didn't. And Jesus' disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send this Canaanite woman away, for she keeps shouting after us." Are we surprised by this? I'm not. Of course not. Jesus looks up. He's like, "Really, God? Really? The best 12? These right here?" This woman had several things going against her in the eyes of the disciples. First, she was a woman. We've talked about this before. Not great in those times. Second, she was so annoying. She just wouldn't shut up about this whole, "Help me, my daughter has a demon" thing. So annoying, unbearably annoying, this woman. But third of all, and worst of all, she was a Canaanite. A Canaanite dog coming to a Jew for help. How dare she? Abraham, anybody remember Abraham? You know, "Father Abraham had many sons." That guy? The one from whom the Israelites and the Jews descended said this to his servant who was to go find a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham said this, "I want you to go make a vow in the name of the Lord." Not just promise to me, go make a vow in the name of the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not choose a wife for my son from the people here in Canaan. Whew. Wow, that is a hatred that runs deep. So when the Jewish disciples, when these sons of Abraham come to Jesus and urge him, send her away, she's a Canaanite and she's so annoying. She just keeps shouting after us. We shouldn't be surprised. The Canaanite was an outsider, hated by the Jews, and I'm guessing the Canaanites didn't like the Jews very much either. But this is not how Jesus worked, was it? He was here to usher in a new way of being in this world. When the disciples say this, Jesus, in my mind, turns around, looks up, and says, "Really, God? Really? Are you sure these are the best 12 that you had to offer? Because they don't get it." Jesus had just taught his disciples, "What comes from your mouth flows from your heart, and if what you say and what you do is impure, your heart is impure. That is what makes you unclean." He just taught them that. These were private lessons. There was a personal tutor. Their personal tutor was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And shortly thereafter, a Canaanite woman comes to them and says, "Hey guys, I need your help. I need you to cast this demon for my daughter. She is distraught. She needs help. She needs someone, anyone to care." And these recently tutored disciples, they show no compassion. They show no mercy. They show no love. And worse, they know a guy that can do something about it. And from their hardened hearts flow these words, "Jesus, send this woman away. She is following us, and man, she's annoying." Now, knowing everything we know about Jesus, forget what Jesus says and does next in this narrative for a moment. Knowing everything else you know about Jesus, what he just taught them, what do you think Jesus thought? How do you think Jesus felt when the disciples asked him to send this woman away who has nowhere else to turn? Frustrated. Angry. Like, is there anything else I can do to get through to these 12? I think he's exasperated. He's at this wit's end, and he thinks, "What else can I do? We literally just had this conversation." I think it's kind of like talking to my kids sometimes. Not you, Lydia. She's not even paying attention. You know what Jesus thinks? No parable this time. No teaching. I explain that I'm here to usher in a new way, a new kingdom. They act like they get it, but they just keep doing the same old crap. This old way must pass away. We must move past this old way. This old way must die. So Jesus thought, I'm not going to correct their behavior this time. I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to show them what their way, I'm going to show them what this old way looks like. They're going to see what their hardness of heart looks like. They want to see lack of compassion. Well, here it is, guys. And Jesus looks down at this groveling, crying, helpless woman, and he says, sorry, no can do. I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel only. It's not fair for me to take this food that's here for them and throw it to you, a Canaanite dog. Talk about kicking someone when they are literally down on the ground begging for help. Now, knowing everything you know about Jesus, knowing everything I know about Jesus, I refuse to believe that Jesus ever intended to leave her daughter possessed with this demon. This crap about, I'm only here for the lost sheep of Israel. We know that this isn't true. This narrative is from this narrative that we read today. It's from Matthew 15. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus cures the Roman officer's servant, a Gentile. In that same chapter, that's where he sends demons into pigs and they run over the cliff. These healings were performed on Gentiles. Jesus is not just here for the lost sheep of Israel, and Jesus knows it. Jesus knows it. The problem is that the disciples don't know it. The disciples don't get it. So he must show them what exclusion, what hardness of heart, what an unwillingness to let outsiders in, a refusal to adopt other lost sheep into the fold. He must show them what this looks like. And how does it look? How does it look? It looks terrible, honestly. It's shocking. It's appalling. We struggle with this narrative. When I read this narrative, you're like, wow, did Jesus really do that? We struggle with this because this is not how Jesus acts. This is how we act, but not Jesus. And that, I argue, was the point of Jesus doing this today. He is holding up a mirror to the disciples and he's saying, you want to see how you act? This is how you act. He's holding a mirror up to us. This, says Jesus, this is what you look like when you reject the Canaanite woman, the person that is different than you. This is what it looks like when you reject my new So what does that have to do with us here? First Lutheran Church, a church that's been here for 193, am I right on that, Norm? 193 years, a fixture of this community. Here we are, our generation, you, me, everyone that's sitting in here right now, find ourselves at a pivotal moment. We didn't choose to be here in this moment. This moment was thrust upon us. And we do have options. We do have options. One option is that we close ourselves off. We can close the gates to our fold. Remember, Jesus said he was here for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, we can insist that Jesus is here for us. We can close ourselves off. We can close the gates of our fold. And we can chase away all the other sheep until we can no longer to pay for the upkeep on the fence that surrounds us. We can be like the disciples. Jesus, this Canaanite woman is bothering us. She's not like us, and she is so terribly annoying. Please send her away. And we can keep clinging to that old way. Or we can jump headlong into this new way that Jesus is showing us today. And what does this look like in our case? I think it is recognizing that Jesus is here. Jesus is here for all the sheep. Not just the lost sheep of Israel. Not just for the lost sheep of First Lutheran's fold. So maybe it's allowing the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to throw the gates wide open. But I argue it's more than that. Maybe it is allowing this one good shepherd to tear the whole fence down. That's what we're talking about doing, isn't it? Not five churches, not five fenced-in areas, but a single parish. I think these two narratives, when read together, tell us in no uncertain terms that Jesus did, in fact, come to demolish divisions and to demolish fences. Open pastures with everyone in the fold of this one good shepherd. The Canaanite woman, her daughter, the disciples, the Roman officer and his servant, the men of the Gadarenes that were once filled with demons. Us, the people of First Lutheran. The people of Peace, Trinity, St. Paul, St. John's, the people of Galleon and all of Crawford County and beyond. All of them and all of us need this Jesus, this one good shepherd, the one who came to demolish fences, and allow all into his fold. Jesus, the one good shepherd, did this because Jesus is our source of perpetual hope. In my pondering this week, I asked us to consider how we might honor our past. 193 years, Norm.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. How do we honor the people that have come before us, the saints that have come before us? You all. How do we honor them? Our psalm for today, Psalm 67, offers an answer, I think. It begins like this: God, be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness so that the whole world may know your will. 193 years, Norm. It's a long time. I would say that God has been merciful to us and blessed us and looked upon us with kindness. Wouldn't you say? So that all nations may know your salvation. God has done these things for us, not just for us, but so that all nations may know the salvation of God. This is what Jesus first tried to tell and then decided to show the disciples today. We aren't meant to be a blessing only to ourselves here at First Lutheran. We are meant to be a blessing for all people beyond this place. We're called to be a blessing to ourselves. We're called to be a blessing to the people of Galleon, Crawford County, and beyond, both now and for generations to come. Right, Nora? This is a call we must answer because this is a people in need of love and compassion, a people in need of hope, a perpetual hope given by Jesus. And just as the disciples knew a guy that could cast out demons, we too know a guy, don't we? Jesus is our source of love, our source of mercy, our source of compassion, and our source of perpetual hope. And through Jesus, we too can convey these blessings. We can convey Jesus both here and beyond this place. I am absolutely sure of it, but notice I said can. We can be that blessing, but will we be that blessing? I don't know. It's up to everyone that sits here. I hope we can. But we can still say, send the woman away. She's terribly annoying, and she's not like us. And we're not sure that Jesus came here for her. We can close the gate, and we say, this is our fold, First Lutheran, and get out. We can honor our history. This is the other option. Or we can honor our history. We can honor the 193 years and the saints that have come before us by demolishing the fence. And I know that doesn't make sense, but God doesn't make sense. And in doing so, First Lutheran, albeit with a different name and form, First Lutheran, you and me and all of us will continue to be a blessing. We'll continue to witness to Jesus Christ here in Galleon, here in Crawford County, and far beyond this place. And so, for the saints that planted us here 193 years ago, for you and your desire to be that blessing, even if it means talking to the annoying woman who's not like you that you don't like, even if it means tearing down the fence that your great-grandfather paid for and installed, for your willingness to open your hearts with compassion and mercy and love so others may experience the perpetual hope that we know, that we find in Jesus Christ. It's for all of them, for all of you, that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation.
O God, your Spirit gathers the church. Shepherd those who are newly baptized and newly ordained into the proclamation of the gospel. Breathe life into the ecumenical and interreligious endeavors. Continue to give the churches of the Crawford County Lutheran Partnership wisdom and vision as we together consider consolidation and support missionaries throughout the globe. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Through Israel, you blessed all the earth. Inspire us, those living in rich and powerful, in a rich and powerful nation, and leaders and peoples and others like ours to do the same. Remember us that when you created one humanity, and when we gather around your table, we are gathered as one. Call on leaders to bridge differences and practice generosity. Inspire all in authority to protect people in harm's way, deliver those in bondage, support fair elections, provide care for military personnel and veterans, and show mercy to those for whom they have responsibility. Hear us, O God.
You created the earth and all its inhabitants and declared it good. Clean polluted skies, seas, and soil, provide nourishment to plants and animals, and make us aware of our impact on the environment. Restrain your creation that climate extremes may be curbed, and teach us to live at one with what you have so generously given. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You provide for those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Embrace people who have been rejected because of difference and told that they don't deserve the crumbs. Heal trauma caused by racism and prejudice. Shield any who are persecuted. Console the dying and heal the sick, especially Bobby, Jack, Beth, Connie, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, Cheryl, and for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We pray this day for those whose lives have been forever altered by the Lahaina wildfire, the families and friends of those whose lives were lost, the injured, those now without homes and who have lost their property and businesses, those whose vocations are temporarily or permanently gone. We pray for aid workers that monetary and physical donations find the places of most need, and we pray for their healing in mind, body, and spirit. We pray too this day for those experiencing tropical weather and storms in Southern California and on the Baja Peninsula of Mexico. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. O God, you journey with us in all life's transitions. Guide those preparing for baptism, marriage, and retirement. Guide our church council and committees in their visioning and ministry, the Consolidation Task Force and those on advisory teams, and be with students, teachers, administrators, bus drivers, coaches, aides, administrative assistants, cafeteria workers, and all others that are beginning school anew that work to provide sound and safe education to our youth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. And we will continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Field and forest, sea and sky. You are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for all his disciples to eat, saying, "This, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are fed by God's very own self, with God's very own hand. Come to the table where all who are hungry will eat, where all will be satisfied, and where all are welcome.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment that we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated.
Did you see that we have this? Okay.
Oh, sorry. Don't get too excited with those yet. All right, so a few announcements this morning. Please look at... All right, Abby's got it now. Please take a look at your bulletin. There are several announcements in there. I will not be reading through all of them. Big one is, and you should receive the letter on at a congregational meeting on September 10th after the service. The big point of that is going to be how we think about naming ourselves. I hope that if you have not yet taken a chance to either watch or listen to my pondering or read my pondering, please do that. I think it gives us a lot to think about as we start to consider a new name for a parish together. So when we do get around to our, whatever you want to call it, noisy offering, that will continue to go for Hopewood Outdoors. And anything else super important, Mike?
Just one thing, just so everybody knows, this coming Tuesday is our secretary, Teresa's birthday. She did not put it in the bulletin or anything. So if you get a chance, call her Tuesday here at the office in the morning and wish her a happy birthday.
I will also say, next time Thomas is here, will be Thomas's last time as our, would you call it a full-time organist or a part-time organist since you're every other week? Anyway, Thomas is retiring after, what, 12 years, 13 years with us? So please come and listen to Thomas. Let's send Thomas's fingers off into retirement well. So we thank him for all of the time he has spent here with us, and we will be bidding him farewell next two Sundays from now. So please come for that. All right. Now, if you're a student, if you're a teacher, if you in some way, shape, or form are involved, that means you all need to start making your way up here. If you're a student or a teacher or in some way are involved in forming our youth, please come up here. That would include those that form our youth here in the church. That would be you. That would be you. There's two older students over here. We have a teacher. All right. I know some of you have already started school. Some of we'll be starting school this week, but we have a bit of a blessing for you all as you begin this year. So, we ask, O God, that you bless our schools, that they be places of learning and safety where teachers challenge the minds and nurture the hearts of students, and lively places for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom.
We ask, O God, that you bless our teachers, administrators, administrative assistants, aides, bus drivers, coaches, cafeteria workers, therapists, school board members, and all who are engaged in the work of educating our youth, that you may give them patience, clearness of vision, and freshness of thought, that they may be able to train the hearts and minds of their students, that they may grow in wisdom and be prepared to thrive in the face of life's challenges.
We ask, O God, that you bless our young people, that you walk with them as they are educated and in life, that you order their steps and guide their feet, that you will keep them from all danger, that you open their minds to receive knowledge and wisdom, and their hearts that they may act with compassion towards those in authority. That means be nice to teachers. And among their peers, that means be nice to your friends. To adults gathered, you have been entrusted with the sacred vocation of educating children, and this work is to be done in God. I ask you, will you endeavor to pattern your life on the Lord Jesus Christ in gratitude to God and in service to your children, their families, your communities, your employers, your employees, and your co-workers? If so, please respond, I will, and I ask God to help and guide me. To the children gathered, you have been entrusted with the sacred vocation of learning. Do you know what that means? No? It means that God has given you a job. And your job is to teach, so they have a job, it's to teach you, and your job is to go to school and to learn from them. And your job is to be respectful to all the adults of the adults at school and here at church. Your job is to be nice to your friends and even the classmates that you may not like so much, even the ones that are mean to you. I ask you, will you try really, really hard to pattern your life on the Lord Jesus Christ in the classroom, at recess? You guys don't get recess anymore, I'm sorry. In all your sports and activities from, you do those, from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed. I know I'm asking a lot, but will you try to do all of these things? If so, please respond, I will, and I ask God to help and guide me. Let us pray.
Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of reason, the opportunity for education, and the opportunity to serve you and others through our vocations. We ask that teachers and students may work together in mutual respect and find joy in the challenges of related vocation. Provide strength, sustenance, joy, peace, and periods of needed respite. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you have knit these, your servants, into one body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Look upon them in their commitment to serve in Christ's name. Give them courage, patience, and wisdom, and strengthen them and all of us in our Christian vocation of witness to the Word and service to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And now, as we do our closing hymn, our sending hymn, we will collect our noisy offering.